In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The month of Abib is a month where we remember our father, the apostles, as we celebrate the commemoration of the martyrdom of Saint Peter and Saint John on the 5th of this month. And that's why the readings of this month are all related to teaching and about handing the faith. And today we hear about the offenses that might happen and might make others to stumble, speaking, of course, in particularly about the little ones or the children or those people who are weak in faith and they are still in the process of learning and knowing about God. So today we are going to speak about some issues of parenting and basic responsibilities that all parents should be aware of. As parents, we are not only responsible for our children physically, with the meaning that we just give them food and we secure a shelter for them or their education. All of these are important and no one would debate against any of these responsibilities. But above all, we are also raising spiritual beings and we have to be aware that it is the basic responsibility of the parents to teach their children the basics of spiritual life and to raise them in the fear of God. This is the command that the church hand to those who come to baptize their children, asking them to be in charge and to take responsibility. Children are not going to be raised spiritually on their own. They are not going to acquire it by watching. The basic responsibility of the parents is to raise children who fear God and honor His holy name. What are these basic responsibilities and what are the common offenses that might happen at our homes today? The first basic responsibility, there are eight. The first one is to teach the little ones about God. Who God is and what are His commandments, what are His precepts and ordinances. You remember before God gave Moses the law, the people knew how to offer a sacrifice and they knew what is right and wrong. How did they acquire this? How did they come to know? They came to know from their parents. It was handed to them that God exists and God wants us to live in a certain way. It is in the same way also today. Before we ask the church to teach our children, it is our responsibilities to tell our kids about God, what He wants from us, why we are created, and what all of this life is about. The second basic responsibility is to remind them of God's love and pointing to His wonders and His marvelous economy. God exists, yes. Maybe we know all of this. It doesn't need much time or effort. Maybe in these days it's a bit hard, but maybe we believe in this. But how God loves us? In which way? What He is doing around us? This is a responsibility for the parents as well, that they take from the time every day or maybe or whenever there's an occasion to point to the children how God is working in the world around us. How His love is revealed, how His kindness is shown toward us, even we as sinners, we do not deserve any of this love. How whenever there is an occasion in the church, we tell them today, for example, we will start the Pascha week, and this is a commemoration of God's love who came to redeem mankind. These are not only facts or just information. It's something we have to embrace and to live by, knowing that someone that great loves us that much. Another basic responsibility also in a spiritual upbringing is to hand our children the faith and guide them in the way of salvation. When Christ came to us, He ordained for us how we should receive the salvation offered on the cross. And He told us about how we should be united with Him in baptism, how we should be abiding in Him through communion. All of these ways of salvation, they are responsibilities for the parents to make it known to their kids, to make them to understand why we come to the church every week, why it is important that we confess. Definitely, we cannot give them something we do not practice. We will never be able to convince them that confession is important because through which we receive the forgiveness if we ourselves are not practicing the sacrament. It is our responsibility to let them know that there are facts in faith, and we should not take things just like whatever. Another responsibility also is that we plant our children in the church, teaching about her order and rights, and guiding them to love other members in the body of Christ. This is not a lesson that we are going to like sit our kids before us and tell them, okay, today I'm going to give you a lesson about the church. It is something that happens in how we talk about the church in our homes, how we speak about the church. Do we always remember what is negative and criticizing the church, or we speak about how this church, with the bigger meaning of it, is the body of Christ, and we are responsible to love and to maintain and to keep the church alive? How do we speak about other members in the church, that they are all members in the body of Christ? Do we speak about them in a loving way, maybe excusing their mistakes, even if something happened or something hurt us? Or we find every fault and we focus on every mistake? At the end of the day, we can tell a lesson about you should love the church, should go every week, but we give them indirect message that the church members are not good people. We should not feel like they are our families. And the church is full of mistakes and so on, so on, so. There is no way we can plant our children in the church by speaking in this way about it. What do we know about the rights of the church and how we communicate this to our children? It is our responsibility above everyone else. Another basic responsibility is that we set the boundaries and the limits for them. What is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. When a child come and ask, I'm going to go a dancing party, or I'm going to my friends drinking, we should not just stand idle and say, everybody's doing this, you can go to the prom, but don't do this and this and this. What is wrong is wrong. When we speak about anything else, any other occasion, the Halloween, all of these things, we give sometimes a mixed message. Be careful when you go and do this. These are conflicting messages. What is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. It is our responsibilities. Yes, we cannot force them. I understand this. You cannot put the hands of your child in a cuff and tell him, don't do this. But at least you tell him, this is not right. I don't agree with it. If you have to do it, if you want to do it, it's up to you. I'm not going to hinder you. I'm not going to obstruct you. Your age maybe is not within my reach that I can force something on you. But what is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. It is the responsibility of the parents to set the boundaries and set the limits. It is also the responsibility of the parents to train them in the way of life. Train means that we do things consistently. When we pray with them. We teach them how to open the Bible and we read it with them. If there is something difficult, they ask us and we answer. We bring them to the church and we come with them. We bring them to confession and we confess also at the same time. Or maybe they see us confessing. This is training, and this process takes years, years after years trying to do this. Telling them you have to pray, you have to read the Bible, you have to do this and this is not training. Not following with this, not doing what you are saying, is not the training that God intended for us to do as parents. Another responsibility also is to nourish them with spiritual love. Our children are not only fed food, this is what they are asking from us. They live on love, how we love them in a spiritual way. Spiritual love that's kind and firm at the same time. It's a balanced way. Do we love them, and this love is shown? I know that every parents love their children, but in which way? Do we love them like the world? We give them whatever they want in order for them to feel like they are not less than others. Is this the way we love them? Or we love them by being severe and all the time looking after, punishing them because we love them and want them to be safe? Neither of these ways are spiritual love. We need to nourish them of this love so they can know how God loves them. Our responsibility also towards our children to secure an atmosphere free from offenses. Home is your responsibility as a parent. Some parents, they say, let him do the wrong before my eyes at home so I can correct him. This is not right. Your home is your church. You should not allow what is not acceptable in it. They can do it outside, it's their own. This is their mistake. But within the boundaries of your home, you set an atmosphere free from offenses. Let us move into the second point about common offenses that happen in our homes in parenting today. The first one is waiting for long before starting the process. The world is feeding this, saying that don't force faith on the children. Let them grow and then they choose for themselves, as if the world will stand idle looking to them and waiting until they grow in order to tell them about what is evil. The world will touch them and Satan will try to seed in their hearts since very young age what is evil and what's not acceptable. Don't wait for long saying that he doesn't understand. When you bring a child that's few days to the church, he will smell the incense, he will hear the hymns, he will taste the communion, he maybe will touch a candle, he will learn even without understanding what's happening. The church will touch the heart of this child. We remember what the Lord said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. We make a big mistake. Because we are troubled, the children will give us hard time at the church, then we are not going to go until they are grown-ups and they understand. When they are grown-ups, it's too late. It will be very difficult to teach them anything. The law of circumcision was given to the children of Israel to circumcise their children when they are 8 days in age. What do they understand? If they are not circumcised, they are not counted among the children of God. This is a fact of faith. And whose responsibility was this? It is for the parents. And it is a lesson for them. They should not delay the process of teaching their children. Another offense is the indifference to the facts of faith. And this is the plague of these days. Parents are indifferent to the facts of faith. Baptism, we have to do it because we are Christians, we are Copts. But why? What is the significance? Is it important? If we ask parents, some of them, do you know the value, the importance of this? Can they answer with a clear answer, this is important for salvation? Or the answer will be given, this is what our church, the Coptic church is saying, but others outside are not saying the same. And at the same time, if we all love Christ, this is the end of the story. All of the Bible is summarized into just love Christ, the emotional way, not following his commandments, not keeping the facts of faith. And then our children will grow with the attitude of whatever. This church is like this church. At the end, if I don't like the people here, I will go to another denomination or search for whatever community that I might feel comfortable at. Look at the Bible and what it says about the facts of faith. St. Paul speaks to Galatians saying, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He says, if I come later and I tell you something else different than what I said, even if the same person, then I put myself under this anathema. If an angel of heaven, imagine if we hear about an angel is preaching in a church, everyone will run there. If this angel is saying something different than the facts of faith, this angel is anathema, accursed by St. Paul. How we think of this? How do we feel about differences in faith? It's important that we make it known to our children. Facts of faith are significant, important. St. John, who spoke about love more than any other disciple, says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. How can we share other people's faith just like that? Everything is okay, everything goes. And then people say that the Copts are fanatics. They are just they do not like. We're not speaking about love here. We're speaking about facts of faith, what is right and what is wrong. We're not speaking about people in any way. The third offense is the absence of the remembrance of God at home. God made it known to the people of Israel that they have to bring his remembrance all the time so they do not forget. So he asked them to collect some of the manna and put it in a pot and keep this in the Ark of the Covenant. Why? One day they are going to move to the promised land, and then they are not going to see the manna anymore. But they can open the pot and look inside and remember, God did this to us. He fed us 40 years in the wilderness when we had nothing to plant or nothing to rely upon except God. God wants us to remember Him and bring His remembrance all the time at our homes. We are extremely busy. We are doing anything and everything, and this takes us away from the remembrance of God. We are so much distracted, all of us. And this is something we will be held accountable when we offend our children because we did not bring the remembrance of God at our homes. And then faith becomes a subject for the intellect. Something we think about it, but we do not live it. It is another offense. We live outside. If we go in any of our homes, do we know the people that are Christians by their behavior and action, or just by an icon on the wall that says that they are Christians? How faith is shown and demonstrated? Is it only retained here, or this is something displayed in action? At the end, if we keep on living on this style, God will only be remembered in His church or whenever we look at icon at the church or at home. The fourth common offense is the disfigured image of God and the church. This is an offense when we give our children an impression about God, that God who waits for my mistake to punish me. Many, many times, and this may be in the old days, I hope it's not repeated in these days, whenever a child is mistaken, we tell him, God will throw you in fire. As if God is waiting, just waiting until a mistake happens, and then He will fall immediately with His stick on the head of the sinner. But this is not God whom we know. This is not God whom He told us that He loves us. How can we portray Him this way? We offend our children. They will get scared from Him. They will never be able to love a God like this. He is not. We made this image about Him. We told or we teach sometimes about God who is separated from our world. God who is on His own. We worry about tomorrow because we are the only ones who are going to take care of ourselves. God is not remembered when at a time of trouble. And this is an offense. We have to be careful and guard ourselves not to communicate this to our children. The church who wants to control my life and know my secrets. Some of parents, unfortunately, they say to their children that confession should not be given to the priest because the priest is going to use this against us. And what could be said that's more like heinous than something like this? Then we offend our children in the church and in the priest. At the end of the day, he is not going to confess to anyone. And who is going to bear the guilt? God and the church seen as limitations to my freedom. The church says, do and don't, do and don't. Believe me, the church has no interest in doing this, and God is not interested in making the life of the people difficult. God wants us safe. The commandments are given to us to protect us. We all know when we fall in sin, how sin enslaves, how sin is tough and makes life miserable. The church has no interest in limiting anyone or asking the people do and don't. It is out of care and love, not anything else. The fifth common offense is the negative examples and absence of clear boundaries. When our children are exposed to an inappropriate shows and they are watching it with us, and we are sitting just beside them laughing at something that's inappropriate, whose mistake is this? What will happen is they will tolerate sin. It will become something not scary. It's funny. We see people that are living in fornication in a show, and we see them as funny. They are nice people. They will like them. We like the character. Then what will happen? Sin itself will not become something that we feel offended at. No, we laugh at it, and it's a comedy. Whose mistake is this? Where are the boundaries? Where are the limits? Let's say this is not appropriate, this is not right, change the channel, we are not going to watch this. A negative example also when we treat obscenities and we curse each other at our homes, whatever this curse is from whom to whom, then we are setting a bad example. We are telling our children that we are living this life, double life. We are here saying something, and at the church we say something else. When they learn obscenities, we are the ones who are going to be asked from God. When we retain the causes of stumbles at home, the home is not going to be a safe place. When the children sees us, our children see us, maybe drinking, smoking shisha, or keeping shisha in the garage, all of these kind of practices, what we are going to say to God about this? When they learn from us this, who is going to be responsible for their blood? It's us, because we made it known that's acceptable. We can do it. It's not a big deal. Then you come and tell them, no, it's wrong. They will never believe us. The sixth common offense is the absence of clear and biblical idea about what love is about. The people will love as much as they are loved and they understood what is love is about. If they do not know what is love is about, they will never understand whom God is. In the mind of many, love is about something I receive. Then, this is the only way I know that you love me, that you give me something. It's not something I give. It is something I receive. So I all the time I'm asking about my rights. حقتي, حقي. But what about what you need to give or do? If we love them and make them know that love is when I give you, then I give you, I give you, they will think of God this way. God is a servant of my wishes. If God does not give me something, then he doesn't like me. He doesn't love me. And God will be not so much actually favored in my mind. Love is not a reaction. It's not an emotion. It is a commitment. And that's why, unfortunately, many of the marriages stumble and they break. Because some, maybe one or maybe the other, they do not understand the commitment in marriage. Love is about being committed. If I love God, I am committed to his way. I might stumble, I might fall, but I will stand up and I walk again. It is not an emotion. I come to the church today and I am moved and I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking my heart and all of this kind of stuff. This is not true love is about. Love is not being, something that we react, being passionate in one day and then we forget about it the next day. Commitment is what makes love that's of value. Love should be always governed by the mind and conscience. It is not only something we feel in the heart. You might have whatever emotion, but if your mind is not there, your conscience is not there, this is not true love. True love should protect and guard others. If I love you, I take care of you. I protect you. I guard you. I don't harm you. This is what love is about. This is how God loved us. God loved us that he put himself to us. This is the ultimate way of showing love. I protect and I guard you. When I hurt someone, when I harm someone, out of negligence, out of bad intention, I cannot say at the end that I love this person. We also have to make it known to our children that this is the way they understand what love is about. We get them offended and we make them to stumble when they do not learn how to love. They grow, they go to their families to start a problem. They are potential for a conflict. They are going to start a disaster when they marry because they never understood what true love is about and how God loved them. It is the responsibility again of us to teach them love is to give. Love is to do even what is maybe inconvenient to you, is to walk the other mile, is maybe to take from what is yours and give to those people who are in need. It is not always about what I want, what I feel, what I think. It's about the other one, the other person. Love also is about commitment and about protecting and guarding those people whom we love. The church today reminds us with the words of the Lord Christ, woe to the world because of the offenses. We have to be very careful lest we cause our children, the people whom we love the most, offense our homes. May the Lord guard all of us and give us the wisdom by which we can walk and conduct ourselves, and we give good examples to our children and the people whom we serve and whom we live among. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.